It's 8 o'clock. This is KVNF Regional News for Monday, November 16th. I'm Patricia Naft. The Colorado Supreme Court will weigh in on whether a newly elected Mesa County School Board member is eligible. KKCO reports that the court will hear an appeal of Paul Pitten's eligibility to serve on the District 51 School Board. Pitten was elected to the board earlier this month despite not living within the boundaries of his seat. District 51 approved Pitten to run using an outdated map. Three Mesa County residents are challenging his eligibility for office. Christmas tree permits for the Grand Mesa, Uncompahgre, and Gunnison National Forests go on sale today. The permits allow people to cut down a Christmas tree on Forest Service land for personal use. The agency says this year, fourth graders who are part of the More Kids in a Park program can get a voucher for a free tree. Permits are available at local Forest Service offices. Governor John Hickenlooper says Kathy Ritter will head the Colorado Tourism Office. Ritter was the director of the Illinois Bureau of Tourism. The governor's office says in her role as the Colorado Tourism Director, Ritter will lead the state's marketing campaign to attract visitors, as well as develop new initiatives to further Colorado's tourism growth. And the position manages all tourism marketing and promotional functions promoting Colorado around the world. The Stories of the River radio series looks at the geography, ecological stability, legal history, and financial impact of the Colorado River. But one big question remains: can the Colorado be saved from overuse? For this final episode of Stories of the River, KGNU's Hannah Lee Myers looks at what ideas and solutions are being pursued to stop the Colorado's fall towards collapse.
Colorado River discussion has become pretty grim over the last few years, with water experts of all sorts using the same word in their predictions for the future of the Colorado River Basin.
Crisis.
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 Most of the new information being circulated about the Colorado focuses on dwindling flows, record low reservoir levels, vanishing groundwater, and deteriorating river ecosystems. However, we are seeing successes and solutions in the fight to protect the Colorado.
Enjoy your sessions and strategizing, and here's to all of your great productive work.
Earlier this year, nearly 300 water activists and researchers attended the 2015 Water Keeper Alliance Conference in Boulder, Colorado, to pool water preservation ideas. Christopher Lynn, a water attorney and public trust doctrine expert, explained to attendees that in any U.S. state, a public trust doctrine can legally protect the ecological health of any natural resource deemed vital to the community as a whole. Citizens in California successfully demanded the Supreme Court uphold public trust doctrine law to protect Mono Lake from excessive water diversion. Lynn says Colorado could do the same, and legal obstacles shouldn't discourage environmentalists working on a 2016 Colorado River Public Trust Initiative.
People are going to sue no matter what you do. So do the right thing, and then hopefully the judges will understand what the right thing is after you've done it. The Colorado River doesn't belong to the person who got there first. It belongs to everybody.
Unlike the U.S. basin states, Mexico, a recipient of Colorado River water, has been comparatively quick and willing to negotiate ways to heal the overtaxed river. In 2012, Mexico, working with U.S. government representatives and a coalition of NGOs, signed Minute 319. That agreement created jointly funded water conservation projects and temporarily changed laws, keeping more water in the Colorado during wet years and requiring that the U.S. and Mexico share the burden of shortage in dry years. Minute 319's other big victory was the release of a pulse flow that, for the first time in 9 years, connected the Colorado River to the sea. Another potential fix for the river is the retirement of the state of Colorado's 140-year-old use-it-or-lose-it law. Although still in effect in most of Colorado, multiple counties are ending use-it-or-lose-it, a law that puts water-conserving farmers at risk of having their allotment cut. Mark Squillaci, University of Colorado Professor of Law and Director of the Natural Resources Law Center, says considering that agriculture uses 80% or more of the water pumped from the Colorado River, it's vital that policymakers encourage conservation in the agricultural industry by offering substantive benefits.
And so there really are no incentives for farmers to conserve water by switching crops or maybe by engaging in what we call deficit irrigation, a sophisticated kind of water application technique that could save water.
And Squillace says domestic water use is being cut using some surprisingly simple tactics. For example, in California, some individuals facing fines for overusing water are being sent to water school to learn how to cut back. Other water providers are seeing dramatic conservation results by showing households how their water use compares to their neighbors. Use less, and you get a smiley face on your bill. Use more, a frowny face.
And it turns out nobody wants a frowny face.
Back at the Riverkeepers Conference, John Weisheit, Conservation Director for Living Rivers, steps down from the stage after a Colorado River presentation and explains that faulty water law, in combination with climate change, has put us all in a dramatic situation that will likely require a dramatic response, like capping population growth.
Cities have to stop growing. There has to be limits because the earth has limits. And if we don't behave that way, then it doesn't work.
The Colorado Water Plan is, for the first time in state history, bringing together statewide water interests to collaboratively discuss water issues, including the future of the Colorado River. Some Colorado water interests propose increasing water storage capacity through reservoirs and dams as a way to deal with water crisis. But other groups, particularly environmentalists, say that will further dry up the river. Around the country, government and private industry are offering increasing support to new technology like ocean water desalinization, fish ladders, and water-conserving toilets and washing machines that could protect the Colorado's threatened ecosystem. The progress seems slow and shortage disaster imminent, but public involvement and human ingenuity offer a glimmer of hope for this irreplaceable national treasure, the Colorado River. For KGNU and Stories of the River, I'm Hanalee Myers.
For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.